Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman, and Walker. A Florida law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman, and Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. Florida United Businesses Association. FUBA is a statewide trade association representing Florida businesses. FUBA also publishes The Advisor, a pocket-sized guide to the Florida legislature. More at fuba.org. And from the Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 900,000 union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
Governor Rick Scott says he'll fight for Florida families and really fight to preserve Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida.
We are competing with 49 other states and hundreds of countries for jobs.
Also tonight, Florida Governor Rick Scott says more than 1 million jobs have been created in the state, but Democrats complain the jobs are low wage and keep Floridians trapped in poverty.
Florida's problems lie in the misplaced priorities of 20 years of Republican leadership.
Progressive activists say they may be down, but they're not out. We'll also find out which bills are likely to pass and what issues may go down in flames as lawmakers once again gather in Tallahassee. I'm Tom Flanagan. Florida's 2017 lawmaking session is officially underway, and this is Capitol Report. It seems most Floridians were deeply affected by the Pulse nightclub massacre in June of last year. That included Governor Rick Scott, who's still taking the tragedy very personally.
The hardest thing I've ever had to do as governor is to try to find the words to console a family or to a parent who lost their child. I truly cannot imagine the grief of losing a child or a grandchild.
Particularly since, as the governor mentioned later, he and his wife Anne have 2 new grandchildren on the way. The governor pointedly mentioned the Pulse shootings along with 2 hurricanes, the Zika virus outbreak, and Fort Lauderdale airport shootings at the outset of his State of the State address on this first day of the 2017 lawmaking session. He said those had only served to make the state stronger. He also used that as a rationale for asking lawmakers for nearly $6 million to fight terrorism.
We have to ensure Florida's law enforcement officers have the resources they need to curb senseless violence and crime.
But as expected, the governor spent most of his speech time refuting the claims of House Speaker Richard Corcoran that the state's economic development partnership, Enterprise Florida, is a waste of taxpayer money and should be done away with. Governor Scott cited his own business background in urging the organization be allowed to continue.
For our state to simply say, we are not going to compete with other states, we're not going to make it easier to incentivize job creators to grow in Florida. That's just a big mistake for our state and for our families.
Speaker Corcoran had also called for the abolition of the tourism marketing partnership, Visit Florida. In recent days, he changed that to a severe shrinking and restructuring of the agency, but that didn't stop Governor Scott from asking for a total reprieve.
Getting rid of Visit Florida and ending advertising for tourism doesn't make any sense in the real world. Successful companies know how to market themselves, and they don't stop advertising when business is good.
Also on the governor's session wish list, repealing the sales tax on commercial leases and a 9-day consumer tax-free holiday on emergency supplies, along with more spending on education.
If we make sure this is the state that every child, no matter what their background, can get a great education, then we'll have the future that we all can be proud of.
Governor Rick Scott stated the state speech was immediately followed by twin responses from the Democrats. Sarah Mueller has that.
Florida's economy has greatly improved since the Great Recession, but Democrats say it's behind in creating good-paying jobs. Governor Scott says businesses created more than 1 million new jobs in the state in the past 7 years. He says the state's economy is growing because of tax cuts and recruitment efforts by Enterprise Florida.
Enterprise Florida has been responsible for over 900 projects since I got elected, including helping businesses like Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and Hertz add thousands of high-wage jobs in our state.
But a recent United Way report shows that nearly 70% of jobs in the state pay less than $20 an hour. The most common job in Florida is a retail sales position, paying an average of $10 an hour. Next are food preparers and cashiers. Senate Democratic leader Oscar Brennan takes issue with that. He says low wages are a problem because people can't get ahead financially.
Because the majority of our jobs are great for teenagers or someone just starting out, but not for someone with skills, with training, with a strong work history, or family to support.
Scott is also asking for more than $600 million in tax cuts, but Democrats argue that's going to the rich, leaving out the average resident. House Democratic leader Janet Cruz says Scott has failed solutions for economic development.
Unlike the governor, who has rewarded those who have given to his campaigns regardless of their merit, I happen to agree with Speaker Richard Corcoran that government ought not be in the business of picking winners and losers.
Scott wants $85 million for Enterprise Florida, but he's fighting fellow Republicans on that. A push to eliminate the state's business recruitment agency, Enterprise Florida, is a rare point of bipartisan agreement. But don't expect Democrats to agree with Republicans too often during session. Democrats are expected to push back on Medicaid changes, cuts to safety net hospitals, and measures loosening gun control laws. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sarah Mueller.
While Governor Rick Scott was outlining his priorities in the State of the State address, Awake the State, the progressive advocacy group, was offering a much different take.
Huddled on the fourth floor of the Capitol, a small knot of advocates watched Scott's speech on large-screen TVs, some of them shaking their heads. Veteran Social Services advocate Karen Woodall said Scott's call for another $618 million in tax breaks couldn't be more misguided.
We continue to rank in the bottom quartile of virtually every need in the state. Education, health care, social services, child welfare. Our prison system is in a shambles.
26-year-old Florida State University grad student Haley Gentile says Republican proposals to restrict abortion put them at odds with most Floridians. Gentile says she'll fight them every step of the way.
Me and many other folks who mobilize around issues of reproductive health care very strongly believe that every person's decision surrounding abortion is a personal decision.
Florida Immigrant Coalition Executive Director Francesca Menez is tracking 9 bills that would restrict immigrant rights. She says the anti-immigrant climate and Scott's close ties to President Donald Trump are sparking a backlash.
People have awoken themselves after the election of the 45th, and they're not sitting quietly and idly by as things impact their communities. They're like, we're going to take a stance, we're going to run for office, all of the things we've been wanting people to do for years.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Jim Ash.
Well, tomorrow, a House panel is expected to take up a bill that would revamp the Florida Public Service Commission and the State Office of Public Counsel. It would also place new requirements on utility regulation. The bill would lead to the appointment of Public Service Commission members from 5 different districts of the state. Those districts would mirror the areas of the state's 5 district courts of appeal. Current law does not require district representation on the PSC. Also, the bill would lead to the Office of Public Counsel, which represents consumers in utility cases, moving under the state's attorney general. The Office of Public Counsel now is an arm of the legislature. The bill also would make changes in the rate-setting process for electric utilities, including requiring rate plans that would last at least 3 years. Still to come on Capitol Report, stark contrasts between Florida's GOP leaders could send this year's session off the rails, but at least one of those leaders doesn't mind.
And even a special session is not a disaster. It's just a more complicated, longer discussion.
Could all the problems between legislative leadership and the governor endanger the priorities of rank-and-file lawmakers? And how might those lawmakers chart their own course through the session?
But if you really take it seriously, you're going to rub elbows. It's going to be sharp. There are things you're going to fight about because that's how you get to the best policy.
We'll take a look at a clip full of gun bills that came up today in the state legislature.
License permit holders are 10 times less likely to commit a crime than certified law enforcement officers. Then why would you tell license permit holders they can't carry a firearm to defend themselves in any place, frankly?
And some lawmakers claim driverless technology could be a lifesaver, but others argue that's not yet the case.
It's kind of like my son Grant when he was 14 and 15 learning to drive, and I think the danger with this bill as drafted, you're essentially given a car who doesn't know yet how to drive a driver's license.
Support for Capital Report is provided by the Able Trust, believing growth of Florida's economy depends on a diverse and inclusive workforce. The Able Trust works with the business community to include talented Floridians with disabilities as vital team members. More information is at abletrust.org.
The Florida legislative session has begun, of course. That means it's time to get serious about the state's budget. But Nick Evans reports the past few months of prologue have done little to bring the parties together.
Florida's lawmakers are back in the Capitol, and at the end of the day, they have just one job: agree on a balanced budget. The governor's wish list includes money for tourism, economic development, and a couple $100 million in tax cuts. House Speaker Richard Corcoran, on the other hand, thinks Florida has a spending problem.
I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, every single government person comes up here and spends money like a teenager in a mall with a first-time credit card and they're locked in there. It's got to stop, and we got to start cutting up the credit cards.
This week, measures eliminating the state's business recruiter, Enterprise Florida, and scaling back its tourism promotion agency, Visit Florida, passed their final committee stops in the House. Lawmakers there are planning to put the bills to a vote Thursday. In his opening statements, Corcoran emphasized the fight he's led against wasteful spending at state agencies.
We question an agency's expenses and exposed their failures and their abuses. We forced another agency into the sunshine. We sued a rapper and won, only to reveal more wasteful spending.
Corcoran's single-minded focus on how agencies spend state dollars has landed a few in court and a handful more in the paper. Enterprise Florida has lost two leaders since Corcoran began attacking the agency last year, and a raft of executives at Visit Florida headed for the door after a contract with the rapper Pitbull came to light. Meanwhile, in the Senate, President Joe Negron opened the session highlighting legislative priorities, like higher education and a new reservoir project south of Lake Okeechobee.
And there's an important sentence in Legacy Florida that's part of our law now. This isn't an idea, it's not a suggestion, it's not a proposal. The law of the state of Florida. And the one sentence says that priority shall be given to projects that reduce the need for discharges east and west of Lake Okeechobee.
Negron's reservoir would reduce those discharges by drawing down water from the lake, treating it, and sending it south. He envisions financing the project through a new round of bonding supported by Amendment 1 dollars. But Corcoran isn't keen on new borrowing. The House Speaker, Senate President, and Governor are ostensibly playing for the same team. But ideological rifts open up like chasms between the three Republicans leading Florida's lawmaking institutions. It's promising the major legislation is already on the floor in both chambers. But if Florida's leaders can't find a way to bridge their divides, session could run off the rails. Corcoran, though, isn't worried.
And even a special session is not a disaster. It's just a more complicated, longer discussion.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Nick Evans.
The session is off to a tense start with politicians already butting heads over the all-critical budget issue. The fight could spell disaster for freshman lawmakers hoping to earn points with their hometown constituents, as we hear from Kate Payne.
Every year, the one thing the legislature has to do is pass a budget. But from day one, Speaker of the House Richard Corcoran, Senate President Joe Negron, and Governor Rick Scott are preparing for a budget battle. The three Republicans fundamentally disagree on state spending and economic development. And some Capitol watchers are worried the fight will derail the process entirely. Pam Olson prayed for lawmakers on the Senate floor.
And Lord, I know I'm asking for a miracle, but may this session end on time.
The fear of a rocky session is looming over first-time lawmakers who hope to hang on to voter support. It's driving freshman representatives like Nicholas Duran, a Democrat from Miami, to reach across party lines.
It's true. Yeah. My first bill that I co-sponsored, first two bills that I co-sponsored were with members of the opposite party, Republicans.
Duran says he's optimistic, but he is keeping his schedule open in case lawmakers have to come back to Tallahassee for a special session.
I've sort of started talking to my wife, my family, because I think they need to know a little bit about those sorts of things. But we have to play the cards as they lie.
But for Speaker Richard Corcoran, conservative principles outweigh most everything else. That's riling up some veteran lawmakers who favor pragmatism and compromise. But freshman Representative Byron Donalds, a Naples Republican, is ready for the difficult conversations.
It's a very good time to be in the legislature, despite all the quote-unquote raucousness of it. I think what we're really doing is having critical conversations for the future of our state. And if you take this job seriously, and I know all my colleagues do, but if you really take it seriously, you're going to rub elbows. It's going to be sharp. There are things you're going to fight about because that's how you get to the best policy.
But first-time Rep. Carlos Guillermo Smith says the conservative crusade is leading to bad policy. The Winter Park Democrat criticizes plans to set term limits for judges and to override rulings by the state's highest court.
We have made the Florida Supreme Court, which is a check on the legislature, as a separate branch of government, public enemy number one under this leadership.
In order to pass the budget on time, lawmakers may be forced to make compromises and sacrifices. But for now, they're showing no signs of backing down. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Kate Payne.
Several gun-related bills cleared their first committee on Monday of this week, and we get that story from Sasha Cordner.
In 2011, a friend of then-Senator John Thrasher lost his daughter. A student at Florida State University, she was accidentally shot at a frat house. Around that time, the legislature was also considering a bill to allow guns on college campuses.
I've opposed this bill since it first surfaced when I was in the legislature in 2011. I opposed it. I killed it. I've worked against it since then. And you have my promise that I will work against it this year also.
Speaking during the annual State of the University address, Thrasher, now FSU's president, is vowing to derail similar legislation again.
The legislature is going to consider a bill that would allow people to carry guns on college campuses. Law enforcement officials, including our own police department, other university presidents, members of the state university system, are in agreement that having more guns on campus does not make our campus safer.
But Sarasota Republican Senator Greg Stube says his gun legislation doesn't apply to Thrasher's situation.
Well, a lot of these parents of victims of gun violence, my bill wouldn't affect them. They weren't attacked or assaulted by concealed weapons license permit holders. So, you know, like the shooting that Thrasher got all spun up about on Florida State campus because he knew the father of the daughter that passed away, that this bill wouldn't have changed that. That wasn't even on campus. So right now they can carry guns there. So my legislation would have nothing to do with the facts and circumstances of those cases. But they used, sadly, those types of cases to make it a political issue, and it shouldn't be.
Stube had initially filed a comprehensive bill that included provisions like guns on campus, but he since changed tactics and has now broken up that big bill into 10 smaller pieces. And Tuesday, two of them were supposed to be taken up by the Senate Judiciary Committee, a panel that Stube chairs. The one that passed would allow a concealed weapons license holder to carry a firearm into a courthouse until they reach security. Then they must follow the security's instructions for storing or moving the gun. The other revises Florida's current open carry ban. Among its provisions is allowing concealed weapons holders to briefly display a gun. Today's law only applies to self-defense situations.
If you look at the facts of 28 years of concealed carry in the state of Florida, license permit holders are 10 times less likely to commit a crime than certified law enforcement officers.
Still, as with many gun bills, there's much opposition from groups like Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Its members have continually spoken against gun-related measures. Michelle Gaida is the volunteer chapter leader with the group's Florida chapter.
We will not allow our legislators to continue to act in the interests of the gun lobby and to ignore what happens on the ground. When they stand on their principles in that hearing room, what they're doing is ignoring the public safety of those who they were elected to help protect.
Meanwhile, two measures by Ocala Republican Senator Dennis Baxley also never got taken up due to time constraints. They essentially allow law enforcement officers to purchase a gun without having to wait the currently mandatory 3-day waiting period. Currently, only concealed carry permit holders are exempt from that standard. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
Florida lawmakers are starting to put the pieces of the state's healthcare puzzle together, and the picture could involve changes for hospitals, nursing homes, hospice centers, and other long-term care facilities. Lynn Hatter reports.
The federal government rarely makes a move state lawmakers agree with, but Republicans in Florida are taking a cue from a late 80s move by Congress to repeal Certificate of Need rules. These laws govern where hospitals and other healthcare facilities can be built. And according to Sarasota Republican Representative Alexandra Miller,
we also know from 40 years of studying CON outcomes, it is not an effective mechanism in controlling costs. It is not an effective mechanism for improving quality outcomes. Licensure and specialty accreditation does that for us. And it's certainly not an effective tool for improving access.
The latest data that I've got indicates that there are 36 states and the Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia that have some sort of a certificate of need program.
Leading Age Florida President Stephen Brommer is among the nursing homes and other long-term care groups opposing the repeal bill. The effort has been around for at least 3 years, and it's part of the House's efforts to generate more competition in health care. The idea is that more providers will drive down costs. But defenders of certificate of need argue the measures are necessary to make sure there are enough providers in areas where otherwise they wouldn't go. The House healthcare vision also involves expanding access by steering people out of hospitals when possible. And to that end, the chamber wants to allow patients to stay longer in outpatient facilities like recovery care centers and ambulatory care centers. Palm Coast Republican Paul Renner says it's about getting patients to the right spot for the right service.
So we're not putting them in a facility where we need to have people that need acute hospitalization. We're putting them in a situation where in an ambulatory surgery center context, you typically have healthy people who are receiving elective surgery, such as a colonoscopy or a knee surgery, hip surgery, and the like. And so it's difficult to put an exact number on how that would change the market.
The House has floated the idea before as an effort to give patients more choice when it comes to outpatient procedures. It's also targeted at costs. Hospitals tend to be more expensive than other types of facilities. The conversation around healthcare comes as the state tries to figure out what to do with a growing healthcare budget. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
This Capitol report has been talking a lot about conflict, but after weeks of questions about whether the House and Senate would be able to get together on budget guidelines, the chambers today approved rules for the upcoming appropriations process, which is a major accomplishment in and of itself. House Rules and Policy Chair Jose Oliva, Republican of Miami Lakes, described the rules as transformational, in part because of increased transparency about budget projects. One provision, for example, will require detailed information on the projects, which could be filed either as separate bills or amendments. The rules also will require details such as lobbyist involvement, whether entities seeking funding are for-profit or nonprofit groups, and what benefits could be expected. You're listening to Capitol Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally tonight, Florida lawmakers say the future is right around the corner, and now's the time to start putting their feet on the gas. Regan McCarthy reports this legislative session, lawmakers are talking autonomous vehicles and personal delivery devices.
Imagine hailing a cab, jumping in, and taking off to your destination, all without a driver controlling the car. Sanford Republican Senator Jason Brodeur says that future is not too far off, so long as government makes room for its development.
Orville and Wilbur never would have gotten off the ground if the FAA had been in place at the time. And so we want to kind of be on the forefront of that. I stole that from Representative Grant.
Brodeur is behind a bill that puts a framework in place for the growing use of autonomous vehicles. It clarifies that in the case of an accident or traffic violation, the technology, not the human in the car, would be considered the operator of the vehicle. Brodeur says the technology could improve safety.
They will make the road substantially safer by decreasing the risky human factor behaviors like speeding, reckless or aggressive driving, distracted or impaired driving, and slow reaction times. We know that over 90% of all automobile accidents are caused by human error. This will reduce that.
And Rich Newsom, a product liability lawyer, agrees. But he says that's not the case yet.
Though they're still learning. None of them have the ability to drive without a human driver. Heck, I think Tesla is furthest along of anyone. And Musk says, hey, look, you drivers, you've got to hold the wheel. That light will flash if you go down the road and you don't have your hands on the wheel after a few minutes. So it's kind of like my son Grant when he was 14 and 15 learning to drive. And I think the danger with this bill as drafted, you're essentially given a car who doesn't know yet how to drive a driver's license.
Newsom says the state has the opportunity to create its own safety standards, even a test similar to the test a person must take in order to obtain a driver's license. Meanwhile, lawmakers are also considering a bill that creates a framework of rules for so-called personal delivery devices. They're small, low-speed robots that travel on the sidewalk and use sensors and cameras for navigation. Pace Republican Representative J.R. Williamson is sponsoring the bill.
Basically clarifies a personal delivery device that it is not a motor vehicle or a vehicle.
The measure clarifies the devices can use the sidewalk but must obey traffic rules and pedestrian signals. The bill also requires that an operator be in control of the device. Both measures passed the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee Tuesday. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Jim Ash, Sasha Cordner, Nick Evans, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, Sarah Mueller, and Kate Payne. We also thank our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Follow us on Twitter at FPR Cap Report. And please join us each weeknight at this time throughout the 2017 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows at fprn.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman, and Walker, a Florida law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman, and Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. Florida United Businesses Association. FUBA is a statewide trade association representing Florida businesses. FUBA also publishes The Advisor, a pocket-sized guide to the Florida legislature. More at fuba.org. And from the Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 900,000 union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.